It's episode 7 of the Crossover Podcast, your 745th stop for all superhero movie news. I'm your host, Doug.
And I'm Matt. This week on the podcast, we're going to talk about some X-Men news from the past week, some Marvel movie news, including Thor Ragnarok, and then we're going to end with a discussion on race and gender in superhero movies.
That's a lie, Matt, because there's only one thing we're going to discuss today, and that's Star Wars, Star Wars, Star Wars.
I'm okay with that.
The Star Wars trailer dropped on Monday. We're recording this Wednesday. Yep. It's fantastic. It's breaking all kinds of records. You'll have to listen to the Hodgepodge podcast to find out about more about Star Wars.
Yeah. I'm not going to say I've watched it 115 times, but that's because it's 116.
That's right.
Yeah.
But no, it looks great.
Yeah, I cannot wait. It looks fantastic. I'm ready for the next, 9 weeks to go by or whatever it is till we get this movie.
Something like that.
Oh my God.
We already have our tickets.
Yeah, that's true.
Couldn't get our first choice.
No, it was sold out.
Sold out immediately.
You know what, though? We should have gotten tickets to that stupid thing because they went on sale earlier than what they announced they were going to go on sale for.
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of BS.
Which is total crap. If you're going to say that movie tickets go on sale after a trailer airs, don't put them on sale before the trailer airs.
The other thing is, too, is that the theater we were trying to get to, I'm like, they have like a special member program because it's not it's not like a chain theater. They have a special member program, and I'm like one of their members. I paid like $50 a year, and you get discounted tickets and stuff like that. And when I got the tickets for Spectre, they said, oh, it's a special presale for, you know, people. You're not going to do that for Star Wars, the biggest freaking movie of the year?
It would be the only reason
I know
to have
exactly.
This thing.
And then when we got the tickets, but you got the tickets for...
Oh, you mean for the next...
So they got the tickets, and like, couldn't use my card. I didn't even get a discount. Son of a bitch.
We're sending this podcast directly to the IMAX Marvels Theater.
In Raleigh,
team.
Thanks a lot, assholes.
Yeah.
I'm sure I won't be seeing it at your theater again at some point. Like, immediately after seeing
first,
it the first time.
Yeah, after the first time. You're not going to get our first viewing money.
I was just telling you before we started that they're selling out the tickets so fast that we're going to see it twice already that first weekend. But if we actually wanted to see it again, we probably won't be able to get tickets.
I know. Tickets are probably going to sell out through the first weekend and into the first couple days, I would think.
I was watching Collider Movie Talk and they were talking about like how Avengers did this and it was doing like that. But this is like akin to that, to like Avengers and Batman, The Dark Knight. I don't even say The Dark Knight Rises in the beginning. Because it did real well in the beginning, and then the word of mouth starts that it's not as good as the last one, so that kind of hurt it. But but Avengers was just like a beast and just kept on like making money. But this is like, I don't even want to say it's, you know, because the last Star Wars movie was 2005.
Oh my God.
That was Revenge. Yeah, it was 10 years ago was Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah.
I don't even want to say it's been 10 years build up. I mean, this is like...
No, I think
30
it's been,
years.
Yeah.
It's 30 years of build-up.
Since Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, because this is a movie that actually looks like Star Wars. And people know it's Star Wars. And it's the characters.
It's not a prequel, so we don't know what's going to happen.
Exactly. So it's blowing away all these records. It's crazy. It's going to make
a
shit ton of money.
Yeah, it's already making a ton of money. And it's pre-sale.
Yeah, it's pre-sale. I don't even think it's going to make a shit ton. I think it's going to make a fuck ton of money.
Oh, my God. That's metric, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
But that's Star Wars. So we're excited about Star Wars. I'm sure you're all excited about Star Wars as well. For all, meaning our two listeners.
Right.
And, so.
Well, let's get into some comic book.
Whatever. Star Wars is coming out. I don't care about this superhero crap.
They make
crap.
Star Wars comics. Keep talking.
I don't care about the superhero crap. It's just been holding in place for Star Wars.
Well, we had a huge news story, or so we thought.
Yes, we did.
Earlier this week, or late last week. And that originally broke with the announcement from Fox that they were doing two X-Men TV shows.
Yes, one sounds cool, one sounds stupid.
Let's go with the stupid one first.
Yeah, the Hellfire Club.
The Hellfire Club.
There's no point in doing that show, because you already did it in the movie. In First Class. There's no reason to do that.
Yeah.
And the whole reason for the Hellfire Club was that it was something to facilitate Jean Grey's transformation into Phoenix in the comic book. And none of those characters are going to be in this. It's like set in the 60s or something like that, right? Or something. Or the 70s, I think. I forget what it said. But it's just like, it's dumb. It sounds stupid. And of course, this is the one that's going to be on Fox.
Right. The other one is Legion.
Legion, and that's going to be on FX. And this is...
Well, that could actually be cooler. I mean, it probably won't
be... Oh, no, for sure. Yeah. Because Legion, if you don't know X-Men comics, Legion is a character who is the son of Charles Xavier, and I forget his mother's name. And he is like this super, super telepath. And he's not like Proteus. Like Moira MacTaggert's son. He doesn't like alter reality and stuff like that. But Legion, his big storyline was that he was basically the one who facilitated the Age of Apocalypse. He went back in time. I think he went back in time. I'm trying to remember the story right. I think he went back in time to kill Magneto, but he ended up killing Xavier by accident.
Whoops.
And then that launched the Age of Apocalypse, because without Xavier there to guide, you know, mutants and all this stuff, then Magneto became the leader of the X-Men and Apocalypse took over the world and all this stuff. Anyway. And that is not what the new movie is going to be about, because the new movie is just, people keep on calling it Age of Apocalypse. No, it's just Apocalypse. It's just the villain Apocalypse. It'll probably be closer to his X-Factor story, where he showed up in the first place, than it would be to Age of Apocalypse, where he takes over the world.
Yeah.
Which was an alternate reality thing.
This movie sounds like he's been around, he's the first mutant.
Yeah, he's the first mutant, and he's been around for a millennia.
Yeah, and he's got almost all of the mutant powers.
He can shapeshift, and he can do all kinds of stuff. And I would expect us to see a trailer very soon for
that. It's got
to
be coming. I mean, Singer said something stupid like 6 months.
Yeah, that's not right.
It's probably 6 days. I mean, it's got to be coming soon.
Yeah. But anyway, so Legion... There's a lot of... The reason why that show could be cool is because there's a lot of stuff you could do with it. Because, you know, I think there was even some dispute as to whether he really was Xavier's son and all this kind of stuff. There's a lot of cool stuff they could do with that. But the Hellfire Club is just... That's dumb. If you're not going to have... Again, and I think I said this on one of our previous episodes, maybe in the last episode. If you're going to do an X-Men TV show that doesn't have the X-Men in it, it's like fucking Gotham. Yeah. You know, it's Batman TV show. No, it's not, because Batman's not in it.
Yeah.
He's a little boy. That's stupid.
Yeah. I'm definitely way more excited about Legion than I am Hellfire Club. I just don't care about Hellfire Club.
Right.
I mean, it'll be an excuse to have put Emma Frost on TV.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Emma Frost in her comic book costume, or GTFO.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, too, is that the other reason why Legion will be cooler probably is because it's on FX, so they can do stuff more, they can do edgier stuff that Fox will just sugarcoat and make it crap. Yeah,
the Fox one will be, it's, I'm guessing, more, like we've talked about before, the shows that are on the basic cable, or the basic network, they have to appeal to a wider audience,
yeah.
And so they're not dumbed down, but it's just very generic. Compared to
the look is very generic.
The look is generic. Like, and the storylines are sort of generic.
Yeah, like on cable and stuff like FX and stuff like that, and AMC for like Walking Dead and Mad Men and stuff like that.
You can take more risks.
You take more risks, but they also do it like film. It's more like film than it is like for TV. It's you know, they shoot it more like film, and it has that film look, that filmic look to it.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be interesting.
Well, the most interesting part, I think, you know, yeah, Legion's going to be cool, but the biggest thing to come out of this story was that people thought, because Marvel had the TV rights,
right,
or so we all thought, that this was an indication that Marvel and Fox had made a swap.
Yeah.
Which we've talked about before, how it would make perfect sense for them to swap X-Men TV rights for the Fantastic Four rights, and just, you know, call it a day.
Right. And Den of Geek... posted a story that their source told them that this was a done deal and Fantastic Four was going back to Marvel.
Yep.
And
that it was going to occupy one of the unnamed
2020 movies. Yeah, for Marvel. And that, you know, it was going to be like this huge deal. Marvel and Fox both came out and they said, oh, no, that's not true. That didn't happen. No deal was made. And... And Collider broke, said they had an update where they were like, oh, no, they were like, oh, our source, high up sources say that there a deal didn't need to be made and all this kind of stuff. And that's, and I was like, I even posted in the comments, I was like, that doesn't make any sense, because for years people have said that, and it was even like in the Hollywood Reporter, like that, that was a sticking point. Like there's, they needed to do that. And I'm like, so you're telling me that every single media outlet has been running a wrong story and nobody corrected them for like however many years or what? Like that's impossible. That's yeah. impossible. So I personally think it's one of two things, and it's probably more 80% that it is completely not true. It's dead. But there's a part of me that thinks it is true, and they're just covering it up until
the DVD
release. Until the DVD. Yeah. Cause somebody posted that on Collider too. One of the more knowledgeable guys on there, he posed, not a part of the site, just like one of the commenters, and he's like one of two guys that are on there that seem to, I think they're in the industry, and like he's like and he said this before this story broke, but mm-hmm. he was like, if they did this deal, they would probably wait to announce it until like 6 months after the DVD came out, so that Fantastic Four could leave it like, oh, maybe there'll be a sequel. Maybe there's gonna be a sequel. Go get the DVD, even though this movie sucks. You know, to try and maximize their profit on Fantastic Four 1, which there won't be any profit.
Yeah.
And you know, so he said that maybe like that's a stipulation in the deal.
But at this point, it's minimizing losses, not making a profit.
Right. Exactly. So part of me thinks that could possibly turn out to be true. That and they might reveal later. Because let's be honest. I mean, if they do a Fantastic Four movie in 2020. I mean, they're not going to start shooting until like 3 years from now.
Yeah.
So like they've got plenty of time to not announce it. One guy had one of the commenters on Collider. He posted, or it was either on Collider. It might have been Den of Geek actually. I think it was Den of Geek. One of the commenters came up with this neat idea. He said that at the end of Infinity War, what they should do is there's like some he's like spoiler alert, the Avengers win, and then at the end. There's like this tear in like space or something like that, and then these individuals come out wearing 60s style astronaut suits with that look like accented with like alien tech and stuff like that, and they have like a glowing four on them, and then like he was saying stuff like, you know, you have the Thing who looks like John Burns, the Thing, you know, with like the Rockies, you know, he's actually orange. I forget who he said Johnny Storm should play Johnny Storm, and then he said, you know, Sue Storm, he said probably Charlize Theron, and then he said that they should cast George Clooney as Mr. Fantastic. And he said, and the only thing that they say to like the Avengers are like, holy crap, they just go, what did we miss? And then that's the end of the movie. And then that would lead into Fantastic Four, which is, that's a great idea. I think somebody else was like, I don't even know if this was like a news story rumor or something like that, or somebody put this forward. They were like, they should cast John Hamm as Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah, I saw that.
There's still a possibility, there's still a rumor that he might show up in Walking Dead.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, you never heard that?
No.
Oh, yeah. There's like a big rumor, online rumor going around that he might show up in Walking Dead as Negan.
I don't know who that is.
He's never made it that far. Oh, you didn't make it that far? Apparently, he's like the big bad after the governor, basically.
Hmm.
And he's like even more sadistic and nuts. And I mean, it would be, if he did it, it would be a complete 180. I mean, even though Don Draper's a sociopath.
Yeah, he's a terrible human being.
But he is. But he
didn't kill anybody.
He didn't kill anybody. He didn't
wait,
murder.
Did he kill somebody?
He may have. I don't.
He's that type of person where I have to think, did he kill somebody? I don't think so.
He drove his brother to suicide.
Yeah. He got somebody killed. That's how he started.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
It'd be interesting. For that.
Yeah, well, we've talked before about the importance of the Fantastic Four, not being specifically the Fantastic Four. Marvel needs Doctor Doom.
Yeah, big time.
Big time. Mm-hmm. And some of the other villains, Galactus and
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to do like, if you're going to do these cosmic stories like, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy and Thanos and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And they do kind of, I mean, I guess they kind of keep that stuff separate. They did do a Nihilus War.
They did.
And he's part of Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
But they do kind of keep them on different sides of the street. Fantastic Four has their people, you know, Silver Surfer and Galactus and Annihilus and all those folks. And then the Avengers have Thanos and I guess Kang?
Kang.
Or is Kang Fantastic Four as well?
They're calling Kang Fox property.
Ugh, God.
So we will not be seeing Kang in the Marvel Universe.
Guess what, Marvel?
You're going to have to start making up some new villains.
That's what Bryan Cranston
wants. Bryan Cranston wants to play.
Bryan Cranston wants to. He goes, yeah. He goes, but how arrogant is that, though? I want you to make up a villain for me.
Make me a villain.
Screw you. It's like, screw you, dude. I thought they wanted you to be Lex Luthor, and he said no.
You were Godzilla. Shut up.
He's not iconic enough. Yeah. It's like, yeah, okay. Gene Hackman would beg to differ.
So, it's something we, not just us, a lot of people want the Fantastic Four back at Marvel.
Yeah, you know who else you know, really wants Fantastic Four back?
Kevin Feige.
Yes. And a few years ago, Mark Miller was defending Fox keeping the Fantastic Four. This was before they even started shooting it.
He's a tool.
Yeah. but he was saying, no, it's a good thing that Fox has the Fantastic Four and not Marvel, because that means, you know, Marvel can only make so many movies a year, but this was before the Disney merger.
Right.
So now they can make whatever they want at Marvel.
Well, they're already bumping it up to 3.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if they go to 4, honestly. If they keep doing the way what they're doing.
Yeah.
So, but they may have to. I mean, it's just like, you know, you've got so many characters and they keep launching all these different characters. Like, you know, that's why it kind of goes back to what we talked about with Avengers, like what that one guy said, you know, that I kind of echoed his sentiment that, like, can we just get an Avengers movie with just the same team from start to finish and just call it just make an Avengers movie. It's the Avengers. Yay. Those are the characters I like. Bring them back. That's great. You know, it's like, I understand what they're trying to do because they're obviously trying to build the Infinity War. But at some point, they're going to have to do that. They're going to have to say, okay, this is the static team for at least like 2 movies. If they don't do that, they're going to be making just origin movies for like the rest of eternity. And nobody wants to see that. Hmm. I mean, it's cool that you want to see Brother Voodoo on the film screen and Squirrel Girl. But honestly, I'd rather see maybe a couple Black Panther movies. Yeah. Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's like, or maybe, yeah, maybe I was into the Captain America movie.
Maybe. It'll be interesting to see what they do. We already know what Phase 3 looks like, but Phase 4, there's a lot of speculation about what storyline they're going to do after Infinity War.
Yeah.
Because where do you go after that? You're not going to go Kang, because you don't have him, but maybe by then they will.
Yeah. It'll finally be announced.
Yeah. But with so many characters, vying for time, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, now that they announced the Ant-Man sequel, which a lot of people thought, you know, we were going to get a one and done with Ant-Man.
Yeah.
And no, that was popular enough to warrant a sequel. What are you going to
do? Launch the other rumor that we talked about already.
Yeah. but then there's, you know, you're going to have Captain Marvel coming out. That's going to be a franchise. Black Panther, Doctor Strange.
Well, I mean, they obviously hope that those will be franchises. I mean, you know, it's...
At this point, they would have to be god-awful, which is always a possibility, but...
Well, it's not even that, because, like, Ant-Man... The thing with Ant-Man is that he's still, like, a superhero, and so is Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
But Black Panther could be a lot different, and Doctor Strange is a hell of a lot different.
Yeah.
And if people don't take to that... I mean, because you also have to look at Thor. I mean... In all honesty, I mean, they're kind of cramming Thor down people's throats. I mean, because those movies didn't do super great. Like, like Captain America, the first one did about the same as the first Thor, but then it made that leap with Winter Soldier and did gangbusters.
Yeah.
And then Thor 2 did just maybe a little bit better, maybe even like about the same. I forget how much it made.
It did better than the first one, but that's not saying much because the first one didn't exactly
Didn't do much. Yeah, so it's like, so with Thor, it's like they're kind of like, well, we need him in the thing because this is our plan.
He's a popular character. They just haven't gotten a movie right yet.
Exactly. Just like the Hulk. So it's like, so people like him, but it's like, they don't like him enough to go see his movie. And his world is kind of weird maybe for people because it's not really superhero. It's more fantasy. And so it'll be interesting to see how Doctor Strange, especially, because Doctor Strange is like the one book that I'm just like, whatever. It's like, he's got the cape and he's whatever.
That one might be another candidate for the sort of one-off thing, but they're talking about. I mean, they've got such a big name actor for the role.
Oh no, I know. Yeah,
how can they not use him in more movies?
Yeah. Oh no, I know. That's what I'm saying. They'll want to for sure, but you know, if the economics don't prove it feasible, they might just be like, you know. So
yeah,
you're in the Avengers now, Doctor Strange.
It could go the other way too. I mean, because it's so different, that might appeal to people.
Maybe.
And I really think the director they got for that one is going to make something really special.
Cause he's, I hope so, yeah.
He seems really emotionally involved with the project, and he loves the character, and that's the sign usually.
That's like James Gunn.
Yeah, it's like James Gunn. It's right. Like the Russos. They're so into these characters that mm-hmm. that's usually the beginning of a good recipe for a good movie, as opposed to Alan Taylor situation,
right.
Where he's like, what do you want me to do? Give me a script. I'll shoot it.
You know who else is into his characters?
J.J. Abrams.
You didn't say that about Star Trek.
Star Wars will be awesome.
No, yeah. I mean, I hope they're all good, but it's...
Yeah.
And then, of course...
There's so much. What are you going to do?
Right.
You know, you can only do so many movies.
Right. And then, of course, you know, with the Captain Marvel thing, you know, you run into... Which we're going to talk about later. You run into, she's a girl. I'm not going to watch that movie.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So yeah, the race and gender we're going to talk about later. But that does go towards Black Panther and Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Will people get over what we're going to talk about later, which is this sort of latent racism?
Yeah.
That's inherent in a lot of.
And it's surfacing with Star Wars.
It's surfacing with Star Wars, which mm-hmm. we'll get to in a little bit. But will it allow those movies to?
Succeed,
you know, as well as the others.
Yeah.
We'll have to see. Speaking of female lead characters, the Wonder Woman movie looks like it's going to have a comic tie-in. They're going to reboot once again.
The DC Wonder Woman. Kings of the Reboot.
Yes,
but they can't even say that anymore because now Marvel's doing it too.
Marvel does it all the time too. But DC is in love with starting over for some of these iconic characters, and so we're going to get yet another retelling of the Wonder Woman origin story.
I got to be honest, that's probably the best way to go, though. Not to keep starting over, but and DC is kind. This is what they're kind of trying to turn it towards. I remember reading an article with Jim Lee and Dan DiDio that they're trying to not be so. How did they put it? It's not all. What were they focusing on? They're focusing more on like. What people know, like the lore of the character, and not so much like the minutiae of canon. So like they're almost like they're trying to like make it like, I'm not going to say they're all going to be Elseworld titles, you know, or anything like that.
But it's like the broad strokes.
Right. Like
character traits.
Right. Like Batman's parents were murdered. He fights crime. His villains are the Joker and this guy. And there's Robin and Batgirl and Commissioner Gordon. And like all the broad strokes are there. But they're not going to be so slavish. Like in issue 73,
somebody Batman named Chill has to kill his parents.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but even I mean, but shit, even Nolan did that. I mean, like he kept it as Joe Chill.
He did.
But
I mean, that's the type of thing that would be easy to change, and that they're not going to worry about, as opposed to like making her not an Amazon.
Right. Right.
But so the comic is going to come out before the movie, and it stands to reason that the movie and the comic will be pretty closely linked.
Yeah.
So this will be our first look at what the movie possibly will be telling us. We've already heard rumors that the movie is going to take place in three different time periods.
Right.
Starting out in I believe World War One.
I think so. Something like that.
Something like that. And then showing Wonder Woman's involvement. Mm-hmm. With mankind through the years.
That's actually a smart move for them because Wonder Woman is one of those characters who has a bunch of different takes on her, and some have been more popular than others. But she doesn't really have, like, she's an Amazon, she's from Themyscira, and that's about it. Some of them really play up the Greek gods and all that stuff. Other ones don't. And
I'm hoping that they play up the Greek gods because I love that aspect of her. But I know what you mean.
It's not like Batman and Superman where it's like, you know, this is it. I mean, and even, I mean, shit, even like Green Lantern, I mean, you know, Hal Jordan, you know, everyone, I mean, I wouldn't say everyone, but like most comic book fans know alien crashed on a planet because his ring went to go find him, and he brought Hal Jordan and yada, yada, yada. Not Flash because of the TV show, you know, Flash has, you know, he was in his lab and a lightning bolt hit the chemicals and he turns into Flash, you know, so it's like, but Wonder Woman, it's like, she's born in Greece, I guess. Don't she made the Olympics?
Something Hera, Zeus.
You know who you shouldn't change the killer of Batman's parents to ever?
The Joker.
I thought you were gonna say Darth Vader, so we can get another Star Wars tie in.
Thanks, Tim Burton.
Yeah. So moving on.
Moving on.
We're done with that. But we're going to stay in the DC universe because just a little tidbit. The visual
effects. Finally.
The visual effects on Batman v Superman are done.
Yeah,
they are complete. Can we please get a new trailer or two coming out soon?
I thought we were going to.
We're supposed to. We haven't gotten it yet.
Well, you got to remember, I mean, because that rumor popped up, I think a couple episodes we talked about it.
Yes.
A couple episodes ago we talked about it. That they're going to have a Batman trailer for Gotham and a Superman trailer for Supergirl, which premieres on the 26th. And then they said around Thanksgiving there'll be a full trailer in the movie theater.
Yeah.
Or online, also known as online.
Yes.
And, you know, but we haven't really heard much more about it. It's the rumors out there, but nothing concrete yet. But you got to remember how quickly this Star Wars thing came together, too. You know, so it's like, everyone's like, oh, is there going to be a trailer? And all of a sudden, it's like, bam, trailer, bam, poster, bam, the tickets are on sale. Go get your crap. Yeah. Obviously, the tickets aren't going to go on sale for Batman and Superman now.
No, not for a while.
That's way off. But this also, I mean, the fact that they're done with the visual effects and all that stuff, I mean, this smacks a lot of, and this goes towards what we talked about with Batman and Superman in the past, is that, you know, this movie was supposed to come out. It was supposed to come out like in December.
Yeah.
It was originally July. And then I think Ben Affleck got hurt and that delayed filming. And they said, well, we're not going to make July 2015. Let's move it to December. And then somebody said, ha, Star Wars. And they said, oh, we don't want to do that either. Well, let's stick it in Marvel's eye because that Captain America movie is no good. And we're going to put it on Captain America 3. Oh, Winter Soldier made $700 million worldwide. Well, we'll just move to March.
Yeah, we'll just move this back to March.
So it's moved all over the map, but not because the movie was never ready.
It was shot 3 years ago or something like that.
There's problems with it. It's just because they couldn't find a place to put it out where it's just going to be, bam, Batman and Superman. Deadpool will come out in February.
Yep.
That'll have buzz probably for like a weekend, maybe two, but then it's going to go away. I mean, I hope Deadpool does very well, but it's going to be more of a cult thing, I think.
That movie's going to make money because their budget, they don't have a big budget.
Yeah, it'll make money, but it's an
R-rated movie, so it's not.
It's that too, but people also have to, you got to keep everything in perspective. You know, it's like, you know, if Deadpool makes $150 million, that's huge for Deadpool. Superman and Batman needs to make like
five times that.
It's got to make a ton. But even like Man of Steel, I guess, we'll use it as an example. Because Man of Steel didn't make as much as Batman, you know, The Dark Knight or The Dark Knight Rises, and it didn't break the $1 billion a day, everyone's like, it's a failure. No, it really wasn't. It made a lot of money. I mean, it made a lot of money worldwide. I think it was the same as Captain America.
It was around $700 million.
Something like that.
The difference was the budget.
It
had a higher budget, so therefore the profit wasn't much, but it made a profit. I mean, it made enough money to warrant a sequel. Yeah. So
these big numbers that everybody talks about, like Avengers and The Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises, made over $1 billion worldwide.
Yeah. You know, Iron Man 3 made
it. Iron Man 3. I mean, really? I mean, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang 2. I mean, come on. So, you know, all these big numbers, and then Avengers 2 comes out. And it made, how much did it make?
It's over $1 billion. I mean,
is it worldwide?
I think. I have to look, actually, I can look up.
It made a lot of money.
It didn't make
as much as Avengers 1, but it made a lot of money. But and people are like, oh, that's a disappointment. It's like, you're crazy. It's like they're not just going to keep on making and making, and all the numbers aren't just going to go higher and higher and higher. Here's a little fact: Empire Strikes Back made less money than the original Star Wars.
$1.4 billion for
worldwide. Avengers. Okay, worldwide. So, and it made domestically, it made $459 million.
Yeah.
And the first one made what, 600 here?
Yeah, something like that.
But that's still a lot of money.
I know.
That's a hell of a lot
of money. $1.4 billion.
I know.
It's like $100 million less than the first movie made. So that's why it's considered a disappointment. $1.4 billion.
But it's like I said, you know, Empire Strikes Back was considered not a flop, but it was considered a disappointment money wise of it, because it didn't make as much as Star Wars.
Yeah.
But now when you go back. Yeah, when you go back and look at the two movies, the majority of people will say Empire Strikes Back is a better movie than Star Wars. I'm not saying Avengers 2 is better than Avengers. It's not.
No.
But you know, people have to learn to temper their expectations. So Deadpool will probably make a profit, but it's not going to be this, you know, juggernaut that's going to overwhelm Batman.
Probably not. No, Batman versus Superman is going to make a shit ton of money. I don't think anybody thinks that. It'll dominate the
end of March into April until Captain America comes along.
Yeah,
basically.
It will. I mean, it'll have ridiculous expectations, which may lead, if it doesn't make more than, you know, whatever somebody's going to come up with some amount and say, oh, it'll probably make this.
Yeah.
If it doesn't make that, then people go, oh my God, is the DC universe in trouble? No, it's going to make up a ton of money. I'm not worried about it at all. But anyway, David Goyer said that he saw a screen of it.
Yeah.
Huge shock. He says it's good.
Yeah. Yeah. David Goyer, for those of you who don't know, is one of the main people responsible for there being a DC universe at all right now. Movie wise, he worked with, he broke the story on the Batman movies with Christopher Nolan. And, he wrote the screenplay to Man of Steel, to which everyone said you should have gotten Jonathan Nolan to help you out with that.
Yes.
And,
at least let him clean up your dialogue.
Because David Goyer is one of those guys who's a great idea man, but the screenplay lacks something.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, you're right. He is a good idea man, good story guy. I worry, though, whenever I see a screenplay that's just by him.
Yeah.
Because he's one of these people that needs help.
Yeah.
He needs an extra polishing stage.
It's like a George Lucas.
Yeah.
I mean,
Lucas is a story guy.
I'm not comparing David, Goyer to George Lucas, but I'm saying that, it's the same kind of thing.
It's equivalent. He puts together the story. He needs help with the dialogue.
Yes.
In a big way. That was my biggest problem with Man of Steel was that, it was the Goyer stuff. It was, I think that
detracted. And the codex makes no sense.
And the codex makes no sense. So some Marvel news. We talked, we were talking about DC possibly changing some of the minutiae and keeping the broad strokes of characters.
Yeah.
A lot of people were up in arms when Daniel Brühl, who will be playing Baron Zemo in Captain America Civil War.
Yeah.
Who apparently is the main villain of Captain America Civil War. Zemo, if you don't know from the comics, has sort of an iconic look.
Yeah.
He wears this purple mask, usually with a sword.
Yeah.
But it is sort of one of these more, not really fantastic looking characters, but just, seeing people in a mask in today's society is not exactly something you see every day. But it is an iconic part of the character. So Brühl comes out and says that they will not be wearing the mask in Captain America Civil War.
Boo!
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 He says that they're doing something different with the character, that he comes from a different place, I think is the words he used. So it sounds like they're making some changes to the Zemo character overall. I don't know. I mean, it would have been cool to see the mask.
Yeah. Now the thing is, like in the comics, is that it's like attached to his face, basically.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that.
No.
I mean, it's like you said, the mask is pretty iconic for comic book fans, at least. You've already got Crossbones in this, who's going to look close.
He's
close-ish
to the comics.
I mean, but then but the thing is, the argument is that, you got all the Avengers who look exactly like their counterparts.
Except for Hawkeye.
They all look like their counterparts in the comic book. But then you're going to have this villain come in, and then he doesn't. And it's like, that's stupid. Like X-Men, we talked about beforehand, you made the argument that Wolverine looks stupid with his hair. He does not.
He does.
He does not.
He does.
He does not.
He does.
I will say it looks better in the Wolverine than it did any other thing with the mutton chops, and then it's short on the top. There is the one thing in X-Men 2, you can tell where they did reshoots. Because he had to wear a wig. And you can tell when it's actually Hugh Jackman's hair and when it's not. And like in the very beginning scene when he goes back to Alkali Lake. Yeah. And like you can see it's like his hair is like as tall as like a house. You're just like, that's a wig. Because the other thing is too is like I think he had grown his hair out for Van Helsing. So they had to tuck it on. It looks ridiculous.
It's like he's got a 50s bob.
Exactly, right? He's got
My point was that like the Wolverine classic costume, whether or not it's the yellow one or the gold, the brown.
It's got to be the brown.
Brown. But, anyway. But the mask, the costume.
Right. But and that's
what I want to see.
Right. And that's true. But the thing is that Wolverine's look out of his costume, because his hair is so unique, is pretty iconic as well. My point was that, you have Magneto in the movie, and although Singer toned down all the costumes, Cyclops still had his visor, and Magneto still wore his freaking helmet.
Yeah.
So it's like, you got it. I mean, and That's the thing with like the Marvel movies. It's even more egregious because of what they do with everybody else, is that they put them all in the costumes and stuff like that, and they make it work.
Yeah, Red Skull looked like Red Skull.
Yeah, they could have made this work, and they. Yeah, I don't know why. I mean, we'll see.
They got Loki right. Loki wears giant horns.
Yeah.
There was a way they could have done it. Now, I mean, we haven't seen the movie. It's right. Not out yet. Exactly. We don't know. Yeah, maybe at the end of the movie, because of what happens to him, he has to wear some sort of mask.
Maybe.
He does say in the article where he was talking about not wearing the mask, they asked him if he was going to be in more movies, and he said that's the plan.
Oh, okay, then cool.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe we'll see it down the road. Maybe.
I hope so.
I would like to see it someday.
I won't spoil another movie he could be in if they did it down the road, but it would be cool if they did it. If they build up the universe enough that they could do that movie and surprise everyone, that would be very cool.
I'm trying to figure out what you're talking about right now.
It starts with a T.
Still trying to figure out what you're talking about right now. You can tell me later. Let's move on to something that starts with a J and then another J. Jessica Jones.
J.J. Abrams. Director of Star Wars.
So we get a new...
And two shitty Star Trek movies.
We won't talk about this.
No, we won't.
We won't talk about Into Darkness anymore.
You mean Wrath of Khan Riddick?
Wrath of Khan with slightly different ending.
God.
Khan!
It only works when Kirk doesn't.
Yeah, I know.
And when it's William Shatner.
Jessica Jones, we will be getting a new trailer this Friday.
Yeah. They released a tweet and a new teaser was on there, and then they announced that there will be a trailer on Friday.
And they're sticking with the watercolor sort of motif.
Yes.
Just like the comics, which
except,
is cool.
Except this one actually looks like Kristen Ritter now.
Yes, they've switched it out. They no longer have the comics.
Generic yeah. Brunette woman.
Yeah. Now it actually looks like Kristen, it's Kristen Ritter. So yeah, I can't wait for that. We're exactly 1 month away.
Yes.
From the series being released on Netflix.
Oh, man. I just realized something.
Hmm.
I took off that day totally by accident.
The 20th?
Yeah.
Nice.
Because our meeting for our writing group is on the 19th to do my book.
Mm-hmm.
And then I took off the 20th because I was like, oh, I'll start doing the things. Not now. I'm going to watch Jessica Jones, apparently.
So we'll have a review for you that weekend.
Yeah, probably.
I did
watch Daredevil all at once. Not all at once. I watched it all on the same weekend, the first weekend.
Okay, final bit of news, and this isn't really news. It's more, it's about Spider-Man 3. For some reason, Topher Grace is in the news. I'm not sure if he has a movie coming out or what. Somebody asked him about Spider-Man 3 and the backlash over his Venom character.
Mm-hmm.
He came back with... I don't know. Pretty lame response. To summarize, it basically says, well, if you're so good, why don't you do it? I mean, that's kind of what he's saying. He's defending Sam Raimi, saying that, you know, his job was impossible for Spider-Man 3. No,
it really wasn't.
It really was not impossible.
The studio, the thing with Spider-Man 3, and we talked about this. When was Amazing Spider-Man?
Amazing Spider-Man 2 was...
When did we review all the movies? Didn't we talk about all
that
the
movies? That was back in... April, May, somewhere around there?
Yeah, that must have been Amazing Spider-Man 2, because Amazing Spider-Man first one came out in 2012. We weren't doing the podcast yet.
Yeah.
So we talked about this with Amazing Spider-Man 2 last year on the Hodgepodge podcast. Sam Raimi is a big classic Spider-Man guy. Yeah. He likes the 60s Spider-Man. He likes Lee and Ditko, all that stuff. He wanted to do Sandman. The studio said, well, guess what? We like Venom, because Venom is a popular modern villain for Spider-Man. And we want you to put Venom in this movie. They fought back and forth, and he says, fine, I'll put Venom in the movie. Then he proceeded to have the shittiest script ever, shoehorning this guy into this movie. So, you know, if the studio who pays your check, if this was Evil Dead, I would have said, Sam Raimi, you were totally right to do that. Screw the studio. This is Spider-Man. You don't own Spider-Man. The studio says, hey, we're trying to make Venom into a character. We want to do stuff with him. Because in the comic books, Venom became like this anti-hero and all this stuff.
Hugely popular.
I think that's stupid, personally. I like Venom as a villain. But anyway, that's me.
I don't like him as a hero. Much better villain.
They wanted him in the movie. He shoehorns him in, and then it's terrible. And the Sandman stuff was terrible, too. I mean, I liked part of what they did. I liked Thomas Hayden Church as Sandman, but the two stories weren't compatible.
No.
He should have gotten a writer who could have done that for him and do it.
Well, he doesn't like the Venom character.
He doesn't like Venom.
He's on record as saying he does not like that character. So, and it comes across in the movie.
It totally does.
Venom is a terrible character. And Venom is one of my favorite Spider-Man characters. And Raimi absolutely destroyed him in that movie. First of all, casting Topher Grace to play Eddie Brock.
Yeah. If people were annoyed that Tom Hardy was Bane, I mean, Topher Grace is like a stick.
Yeah.
And Eddie Brock is supposed to be like this hulking mass of, you know, muscle. And it's, I mean, that was terrible. And Topher Grace, you know, Eddie Brock is not supposed to be, you know, just a nastier Peter Parker. He's like the complete opposite of Peter Parker. He's more of like a...
He's conniving.
He's almost like if Flash Thompson became a villain, almost.
Didn't Flash Thompson become Venom at one point?
Probably.
I think so.
This is why Marvel should take the DC approach to their comic book sometimes and say, you know, not doing what they're doing now where they just change the whole thing and you're just like, all these characters are unrecognizable to me. So it's like, you know, just, that's Thor? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, whatever. So
he's got boobs, but all right.
You say so. That's Spider-Man? All right.
All right.
So, you know, he should have gotten somebody to help him out and make it better.
Yeah, it's... if you're not going to do the character right, don't...
Do it.
Don't do it at all. Right. And that was an absolutely horrible rendition of Venom. It effectively killed any chance of having Venom in a movie for... Well, how long has it been now? Since Spider-Man,
they were supposed to do another one with Amazing Spider-Man, but now that's done too. So don't be surprised if Venom shows up in the... I don't want to say the first solo Spider-Man movie, but definitely the sequel.
I definitely think sequel Venom will be in it. I don't think they'll put him in the first one.
And then you've got what's that guy's name? Is it Shankar, the producer? Adi Shankar, who did he did the gritty Power Rangers thing recently, but he also did Dirty Laundry with Tom Jane as the Punisher again.
Oh wow.
And then he also did the Venom thing with Ryan Kwan,
which was really cool. Good, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean that's how you do Venom right.
Yeah.
Maybe Sam Raimi should have gone to him.
The Ryan Kwan Venom thing was really neat.
Yeah, that's Adi. I think his name's Adi Shankar.
Okay.
In interviews he's a total tool. But he's a big fan of all this stuff and he really loves it. And like I love the Thomas Jane
I need to watch that one.
The Dirty Laundry. I think it's Dirty Laundry, I think it's what it's called, or something like that. Mm. Or Laundry Day or something like that. And it's really cool. It's neat.
The Kwan thing is cool. It's almost, looking back now that I've seen Nightcrawler, it's almost like a Nightcrawler-esque character.
Yeah.
Because he's kind of creating his own news, basically. And then taking shots of it.
Yeah.
And, it's just really gruesome the way that he deals with these, you know, crooks, petty crooks.
Right.
And he's like killing them.
Yeah.
And then taking pictures of it. And the story in that one is like these two guys are filming, they're foreign nationals, and they're making a movie. And he kind of like gets them to start making the movie about him, and then at some point he unveils the Venom character on there, kills both of the guys.
Right.
And, it's just a really neat short film,
yeah,
basically. But it just whets my appetite for seeing like a real Venom on screen. I just can't wait till they do him right. And like we said, it probably won't be the first movie. The first movie will probably be Green Goblin.
I mean, they've already done him twice.
But who else are you going to do?
That's the thing, Spider-Man.
Oh, Kraven, actually. Wasn't it rumored that Kraven might be the villain for the first Spider-Man movie?
Maybe, yeah.
I thought it was.
But see, the problem with Kraven is that you can't do the best Kraven storyline. Because doing the best Kraven storyline necessitates that they already are enemies. And like you have to do that down the line. You need to put... If you're going to put Kraven in it, you just have to put Kraven in it, and then down the line, like in 3 or 4, do Kraven's Last Hunt.
I don't know that they're going to wait that long. I think they're going to try to do Kraven's Last Hunt on this first one.
That's a Dark Knight Rises mistake.
Yeah.
You're trying to cram too much into one movie, and it's going to be tough to do that. I mean, you could still kind of do it, I guess, but...
It would be a way to get both Green Goblin and Kraven... to introduce the Green Goblin character without... Or Norman Osborn rather than Green Goblin.
Yeah.
And have him hire Kraven to come kill Spider-Man. I don't know. We'll see. But I believe there was a really strong rumor that he was the main villain for the first Spider-Man movie.
Mm.
You ready to move on to rumor section?
Yes.
How do these rumors get started?
Running long here.
We are running long. Well, let's go through these quickly. First up, Black Panther. got some reports this week that Ryan Coogler of Fruitvale Station and Creed, the upcoming Creed movie, might be on board to direct Black Panther.
Which means Michael B. Jordan will be recast
as Black Panther. As Black Panther.
Sorry, Bozeman, you're out.
Bozeman, we apologize. We were finally able to get Michael B. Jordan. All your parts in Civil War have been given to Spider-Man. So that'll be cool. Moon Knight, possibly coming to Netflix, which I believe I predicted on this show.
It's not that...
Shut up, I predicted it.
It's not that big a prediction.
It's a big prediction. might become a Netflix series for Phase 2 of the Netflix shows.
Jeez, when the hell's that?
Who knows? I don't care. I just want to see Moon Knight on Netflix. I think that would be awesome.
That's another character there where it's like, you know, like Wonder Woman. It's like, which Moon Knight are you
Are you going to go with the Khonshu angle? I don't know. I hope so. I hope they make him insane. That would be so cool. That's what I want to see. And, you know, maybe this ties into the whole thing that we were hearing recently about Iron Fist possibly being in trouble. Maybe he replaces Iron Fist.
Maybe. I don't know, though. I mean, because Luke Cage and Iron Fist are like a duo.
They are.
I mean, that's like saying, hey, we're going to make a Han Solo movie. Sorry, Chewbacca. You know, take a hike. Take a hike, furry freak.
Let's go to Thor. We have a few items on Thor Ragnarok.
Well, yeah, one thing is not a rumor.
Let's start with what's not a rumor. This is actually fact now.
It was a rumor, and then it was quickly confirmed.
Yes, and that will be that Mark Ruffalo will reprise his role as Hulk in Thor Ragnarok.
As Bruce Banner. No Hulk. Hulk is not in this.
Yeah.
He's only Bruce Banner, and he's just the comical sidekick to Thor in the new Thor movie.
This time,
Thor Ragnarok.
When he punches Thor, he will actually break his fist.
Yes.
No, he's going to be in the new Thor movie. A lot of people seem to think that they're going to try to incorporate some of Planet Hulk into Ragnarok.
I think we talked about this last time. I think we did talk about it.
Yeah, I don't... No.
Yeah, don't do that.
No, don't do that.
Yeah. Planet Hulk that could be a way to get him to do Planet Hulk later.
That could be a jumping point.
That could be a jumping point to Planet Hulk.
When he's done with Ragnarok. Although, no, he's going to be in Infinity War.
Is he?
Is he? Oh. He's going to be in Infinity War. And that's going to be maybe where you can launch him into space as part of that.
Maybe
Thanos, like, you're not a threat to me. Blink! And...
I hope they put Hulk in a space helmet with no suit. He's just like, I'm breathing somehow. I can't wait to see what they do with that, because I want to see. I mean, I'm sure they're going to make it really cool, like Infinity War, but I would love to see if they went completely like Superman 4 camp, where like humans are like breathing in space with like no problem at all and there's no issues.
Sure.
And
that would be great.
Cap.
Yeah.
How are you breathing in space? Oh no. I'm just a guy from World War II.
I'm just a kid from Brooklyn. Whee! It's space.
My eyes, they're bulging out of my head.
So Hulk and Thor, it's I think a good match. Thor obviously needs some help in his movies.
Yes.
Whether this is going to be a case of Hulk being taken over again, I hope not, by Loki. As part of Ragnarok, I don't know. We'll see. Or if maybe he just enlists the help of Hulk to defeat Surtur. I don't know. But it's a cool inclusion nonetheless. Somebody else who might appear in this movie is Valkyrie and the Valkyries.
Yes.
That is not a band, by the way.
No. They're also not a gang in
No, they're not.
West Side Story.
No. Valkyries would be cool. Visually, I think that would be a neat addition to the franchise.
Yeah, just like in Flash Gordon.
Yes.
But the other rumor is that Valkyrie herself could possibly become female Thor, possibly.
Oh.
Oh, you didn't hear that?
No.
That rumor that she could possibly become female Thor.
Because they're
obviously not going to go with Jane Foster, so...
No, they're not going to do that. Oh, that would be really cool. God, I would love that. All right. Thor's script, supposedly, is the darkest one yet in the Marvel Universe. I guess its competition there would be Winter Soldier? I don't even know if that's not even a dark one, but it's at least more realistic, I guess. And,
yeah.
Not quite as
filled with comedy. Ant-Man. No.
Ant-Man is definitely the darkest. Definitely the darkest. It had a prison in it.
Right.
I mean, God. So yeah, supposedly it's a very, very dark script. Now, this is written by Christopher Yost and somebody's name that I can't remember right now. But two writers on there. We talked about last time Christopher Yost is responsible for a lot of the Earth Mightiest Heroes episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, that sounds like a good direction to me. I think there was a bit too much humor in Thor The Dark World. It was just a muddy story all around, a weak villain. You know, Loki and Thor were the best parts of that movie, but there wasn't enough interaction between them to really save it, and the story was stupid, and Jane Foster's inclusion was really bad. And,
I love me some Natalie Portman, but her character
not as
was
Jane Foster.
Not necessary. I liked her in the first movie. I thought they had good chemistry in the first movie, honestly.
I've never been a big Jane fan. I want to see him with Sif. But I will say, yes, their chemistry was a lot better in the first movie. The second movie...
It's because Kenneth Branagh.
Yeah, it is. It's the director made all the difference. We'll see. You know, there was also a rumor that Marvel was going to, quote, brighten the corners of the script a little bit to make it not quite as dark as it is. Because apparently they thought it was way too dark. I don't know if this means that they think a lot of people are dying in this movie. If it's just a bleak story. I mean, it's Ragnarok. It's the end of times.
Right.
You know, it should be a dark tale. But I don't know. We'll see. It can only go up after The Dark World.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Finally, we have some news about Doctor Strange. We were talking about him earlier. We speculated before about Rachel McAdams' character.
Yes.
We really want her to be Clea. The rumor is that she is, in fact, not Clea. That she is...
Night Nurse. Which is something we talked about before, too. That's a rumor that came up before, and now it's resurfacing again.
Yeah.
And the thing that lends credence to this is that Stephen DeKnight, who was the showrunner on Daredevil Season 1, wanted to make Rosario Dawson's character Night Nurse, and Marvel told him, no, we need her for features.
Yeah.
And Night Nurse has a history in the comics with Doctor Strange, so that's what people think. They think that Rachel McAdams will be Night Nurse.
Yeah,
I hope she plays her character from True Detective Season 2.
Well, I haven't seen that yet, so I can't really.
Well,
and that's a mistake on my part.
It is.
You
have access to HBO now.
Yes, I do. I'll get to it. Don't worry.
Whatever, dude.
I don't know. I of course would have rather seen Clea.
Yeah,
but I really like Rachel McAdams, so I'm just looking forward to seeing her in the movie. I can't wait for that movie to come out. That's next November.
Yeah, November 16th.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're going to end things this week with the topic of race and gender in superhero movies.
Cheery topic.
It is a very cheery topic, but it's a timely one given what
has happened. Ladies! Get out!
Must be white male to enter. No, it's a timely topic because of what's going on this week with after the Star Wars trailer came out.
Yeah.
this ridiculous movement came up to boycott Star Wars 7.
Right.
The reason being that some people felt the movie was anti-white because an African-American actor is cast as one of the leads.
And they're also, because there's a woman as one of the leads.
And the other lead is a female, yes. So, apparently some people feel very threatened by this and are saying that, you know, this type of thing can lead to a, quote, white genocide in the movie world. All right, that's just a bunch of bullshit. It's a ridiculous argument. Please, white males do not have a problem getting a part in Hollywood. And it's not like, you know, this movie is going out of its way not to have white people in it.
Right.
It's still like 90% of the cast.
Yeah, exactly.
One
of my friends, his friend on Facebook pointed out, he's like, where are all the Asian people in Star Wars? I'm like, they're going to be in Rogue Squadron. Just or Rogue One.
Rogue One.
Don't worry, they're coming. The two things about this that makes it completely stupid. One was just pointed out, what I was just reminded of today on Facebook. This guy posted this. George Lucas is married to a black woman.
Hmm.
It's number one.
Yeah.
Number two, it's hilarious that these people are behaving this way when all the parallels in this movie with the First Order, all the parallels are directly to the Nazis.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, so I think they're just mad that their real life heroes are being depicted as villains in this movie.
Yeah,
they're also some... they're also anti Indiana Jones, these people. So, because all he does is kill Nazis.
Yeah. Now this connects to comic book movies, because a similar controversy came out when Michael B. Jordan was cast as Johnny Storm.
Yes.
The Star Wars one to me is even more ridiculous though, because it's not like they took a traditionally white character and gave it to an actor of color.
Right.
This is a brand new character. Nobody knows who these people are.
Right.
How could you argue?
Maybe he'll take off his mask and he'll really be white.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll be Kevin Smith underneath. You don't know. You don't know.
I smell a hate crime coming up. No, but the Michael B. Jordan thing sparked a similar uprising, I will say, among comic book fans. And I think it brings to light something that a lot of people don't want to talk about in the comic book world, is that there is, I will be nice and say, latent racism amongst a lot of fanboys sometimes.
Oh, okay, yeah. I thought you were going to say because all the characters are white. But
No, that's because of the time. No, that's what I'm saying. The time when these things were created has a lot to do with what came out in the books.
Right.
But over time, you know, our nation has progressed. I mean, we're to the point now where we should be seeing a more diverse cast of characters. Mm-hmm. And it actually goes against the reality of our time to not show more people of color, more women in leading roles in these stories.
Right, right.
So what I wanted to talk about was how important is race and gender to a lot of these comic book characters, and can we flip a lot of them? And you know, which ones would it make a difference when, you know, which ones does it not? See, I don't think Johnny Storm was not one of those where I was like, oh, he can't possibly be another race.
Right.
Why? It's his race was not important to his character. The important things about Johnny Storm, he's cocky.
Right.
He's brash.
Right.
He's got a strong sense of humor. And he's a ladies' man. I mean, that's kind of that's Johnny Storm.
Right.
Nothing about that says he has to be a white guy.
Right.
So for characters like that, I don't think it makes a difference. But a lot of people, when Michael B. Jordan was announced that he was going to play the character, were up and, I mean, they were just so upset.
Yeah.
How could you do this? You know, the same thing sort of came up whenever Donald Glover was, before they were cast, they were casting Spider-Man for Amazing Spider-Man.
Right, Andrew Garfield.
Andrew Garfield ended up with a part. There was a really strong movement to get Donald Glover because community was sort of at its height around that time.
Right.
There was a movement to try to get Donald Glover the part. And even Stan Lee chimed in at the time and he was like, yeah, you would make a great Spider-Man. But there were so many people that were upset. They were like, no, you can't have, an African-American Spider-Man. What are you talking about? Peter Parker is white.
Right.
I think that's another character, though, where I don't necessarily think that race matters. It's the character of Peter Parker is more about he's this nerdy kid who is given this incredible power.
Right.
And, you know, it's how he deals with having all this power and how he deals with it in his normal life.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Peter Parker character. It has nothing to do with race. And we're also starting to see some females taking roles that had been traditionally male in the comics. We talked about female Thor a minute ago.
Mm-hmm.
With that whole storyline started earlier this year, I want to say.
Maybe late last year.
Maybe late last year?
Right? I can't remember. I think late last year.
Okay. But it was a really popular storyline. Those books sold quite a lot. The Lady Thor books. Whenever they first announced that the Lady Thor thing was coming out, my first reaction was, this is great, but I'm just worried that it's going to turn out, they're going to bring back the male Thor.
They will eventually.
Yeah, they will eventually. But my fear was that this is going to be just a lead up to promote something huge happening with the male Thor. You know, it's not going to be a highlight of a female character. It's going to be like, this is a setup so that the real Thor can come back and do something cool. Again, a lot of people were really upset. There was a story this past week about Fox News.
Yes. Yes.
They were mad about the first Captain America Sam Wilson book
Yeah, they're more mad about...
That's more conservative thing.
Right? That's more politics. That's more... Because Sam Wilson, Falcon, is now Captain America. Something happened to Steve Rogers where, like, the super soldier serum malfunctioned or something like that. Now he has aged rapidly. He's like Solid Snake in Metal Gear 4. He has aged rapidly. And now he's, like, the way he's supposed to be. He's, like, a 90-year-old guy. Well, actually, now he'd be 100, but, you know, comics.
Play with time. Yeah.
So... They made Falcon Captain America. And I think that's fine. That's cool. It would make... To me, it makes more sense to make Falcon Captain America than it is to make fucking Bucky Captain America. Yeah. Sorry.
Spoiler alert.
It makes more sense to make him... Because he was his partner for much longer than Bucky was his partner. I'm not thrilled with his costume, personally. I don't dig the costume that much.
Yeah,
I would. I honestly, I would have just preferred they just put him in the Captain America costume. He's just the black guy. It's just that's fine.
Yeah, it's a little weird costume wise.
Because they're trying to marry the two heroes, and it's like
The shield doesn't work with the wings as well. Yeah, I think. But that's aside.
But the thing is, but what was happening is that Sam Wilson's character is Captain America has always been more about America than the government that's in power.
Yes,
and Sam Wilson's character is more. They painted him as more liberal, which makes sense. Where he comes from, he would probably be more leaning Democratic and stuff like that. You know, where he comes from, because a lot of black people do. You know, so it makes sense. So he's more, and of course, Fox News, because they're morons. They're like, he's pushing a liberal agenda. Get your own Captain America. And then I think it was Kurt Busiek wrote a tweet. They're like, he's like, yeah, Fox News is saying that liberals should make their own Captain America. They did in 1940.
He was called Captain America. Yeah, his name was Steve Rogers. Yeah, Steve Rogers.
Yeah, so I mean, like, it's, you know, it's a comic book. It's a comic book. Yeah. And it's like, it doesn't, you know, it's
so,
like...
So many people are upset. Now, the Sam Wilson thing is more political than anything else.
That's more politics.
Yeah. But... Would he be getting that much heat if it was Steve Rogers?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't think he would have gotten
because,
as much.
Yes, because...
Superman did that thing a few years ago where he...
And they made a big stink about that, too.
Yeah, he was... They did. He denounced his U.S. citizenship,
like that.
Yeah.
Yes, and they made a big stink about that for about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's how long this story will last.
I hope so.
But it's ridiculous. But, you know, you make a good point, because, I mean, look at Obama. You know, they hate him because he's so liberal. It's like no, because he's black.
It's because he's black.
The thing for me is like there's definitely latent racism out there, but at the same time with fanboys you can kind of go either way with it, because they're so slavish to the material that it's like, you know, I can see people freaking out about it. Now me, I don't care about Fantastic Four really. So if Johnny Storm, I think it's neat. I mean, I think they also kind of bent over backwards to make that happen in that movie. But I mean, it would have been far more interesting if you made Sue Storm back. You know, but it's okay. But you want to have a mixed family? That's cool. That's great. Mm-hmm. So I don't really care about that. Peter Parker. You know, you're right. It doesn't really matter. But again, he was created traditionally white. You know, so whatever. But you could look at Supreme Power comic that came out for Max, that it was Squadron Supreme from the 80s.
Yes.
And J. Michael Straczynski rebooted. And he made... They're all basically the Justice League, but in Marvel.
Yes.
And he made the Batman character. He made him black.
Yep.
And he was basically Batman. He was rich. His parents were killed by racists.
Yeah.
And then he became Nighthawk.
Batman is another character that I think... It doesn't matter. Race doesn't matter about Batman. You could also say Superman race doesn't matter about Superman.
Yeah.
Now, there are some characters I think it would be tougher to do a gender swap. Spider-Man. We already have a Spider... There's a Spider-Woman that's a separate character.
Yeah.
Spider-Girl is a separate character. Spider-Gwen now is a separate character. Right. Wonder Woman would be a terrible... To switch that over to a male.
We already have Wonder Man.
Wonder Man.
And Marvel.
But are there other roles where it would be a problem to switch?
They're doing it with Wolverine. I mean, Wolverine in the comics is now... His X-23 is now Wolverine.
Yep.
And she was a clone of Wolverine. And with Logan... I'm doing air quotes here. Dead.
Yeah.
now she is Wolverine, and she's joined the Young X-Men, which is like the younger versions of Cyclops and Iceman and Angel.
Now, is Iceman gay in the comics now?
Yeah, I guess. Okay. I mean, like, and that stuff. It's like, I don't know, that doesn't make as much sense to me, that, because Bobby Drake's always been like a ladies' man in the comics, and then to automatically just turn it like that, it's just like, eh. Like North Star, it's like, okay, you didn't really know about it, you know, so it's like, it works to make him that, or Alan Scott, even for that matter, the original Green Lantern, that works. But when you have a character does something for so many years, he's been a character in Marvel for 50 years, and all of a sudden he's like, oh, he's gay! Yeah. It's like, eh, I don't know about that.
I remember Andrew Garfield wanted to do that with Spider-Man. He was like, he was campaigning that Spider-Man should maybe be gay.
I mean, the other thing that people come up with, and this is something that you've argued about, argued for a lot, and people say, you know, well, why are you going to make Spider-Man black? Just make a new black character that's really cool.
Yeah.
And that's a way to go as well. Yeah. You know,
because... Well, I'm always, yeah, like you said, I'm always for creating new characters, because I think my unpopular opinion is a lot of these characters need to go away. They've been, you've milked these stories to death.
Yeah.
You can only reboot a franchise so often. And I'm not talking about just movies.
Yeah.
Comics.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The
other thing, and the other problem with that is, though, honestly, is that they don't create enough good villains.
No.
And that's because you could keep a character going forever, but Batman can only fight the Joker so many times. You know, the X-Men can only fight Magneto so many times. You have to come up with, you know, and Claremont tried to do that when he came back to X-Men. He tried to create these new villains, and then Marvel said, oh, wait, the movie's a hit. Get out of here. We want to put Magneto back in this book.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, I mean, new characters would be great, too. One character who you cannot do a race swap is Black Panther.
This is true.
Black the King Panther, of Wakanda is a white guy.
A white guy.
It's like that Dave Chappelle sketch.
Yeah.
Show us your face. You want to see my face? No, no, no.
Clayton Bigsby.
Clayton Bigsby. Yeah. He's actually the guy who's complaining the most about all this stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, part of my point here is that there aren't a lot of roles that can't be given to actors of color or a different gender.
Right. Right.
And it's a problem that so many people feel offended.
I think, there's definitely, like I said, there's definitely like that latent racism there. But if they did a Spider-Man movie where they did Miles Morales and they cast Donald Glover as that, people wouldn't have a problem. People wouldn't care. They'd be like, okay, that's cool. I think it's the fact that they're just like, I think there is that subsect that is just like, screw those black people.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's also a big subset of just fanboys who are like, Peter, it's just in there, they're just, Peter Parker is white. Mm-hmm. If you're going to make a black Spider-Man, then call him somebody else. But Peter Parker is white. It's like, I think that's part of it. Because like, if they change, because like we were just talking about with Sam Wilson. They didn't change Steve Rogers. They didn't turn him into a black guy. They just made a different guy become Captain America.
Yeah.
And I think people, comic book fans are so used to that stuff that it's like, oh, that's cool. Yeah, that's neat. Okay. But it's like, but it's when they're screwing with what they know that they're just like their head, like their brain short circuit, you know? I have a friend who, and this is even more dumb, you know? He's like, I don't like Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. I'm like, why not? He's too tall. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? I'm like, did you watch the cage fight scene in the first X-Men where you're like, oh my God, that's Wolverine? It doesn't matter how tall he is. You know, it's like, he's too tall. Are you kidding me? Now, yes, would I like it if they cast a shorter actor like Tom Hardy?
Yeah, Tom
Hardy. As Wolverine in the future? Yeah, that'd be great. But Hugh Jackman was Wolverine. I mean, he was Wolverine. Christian Bale, Christian Bale's too short to be Batman. He's also the best Batman that there's been. You know, I mean, come on. I mean, come on. And so it's like, you know, that's just showing you. And the friend I'm talking about is a black man. So I'm just showing you that there is that level of like where they're just like, no, it has to be exactly the way I remember it.
That is true of a lot of comic comic nerds.
Especially because it's a visual medium. It's like, it's not like Game of Thrones where you can say, I didn't picture that guy as him. Mm. The book's all in your imagination. Me, when I read Game of Thrones, you know who I pictured as Tyrion Lannister? Peter Dinklage. You know who they cast? Peter fucking Dinklage. So I'm like, great, perfect. You know, so it's like, but when you're reading a comic, you're like, ooh, Catelyn Stark. Didn't look anything like I pictured her.
Yeah.
So, you know, so, I think that you're right. I think there is, like, a hateful angle to it, especially with, like, Michael B. Jordan stuff. I mean, that was just crazy. I mean, because if you saw anything Michael B. Jordan is in, he's a great actor.
He is a great actor.
And he's probably one of the best parts of the Fantastic Four movie.
Yes.
And, you know, so it's, you know, but I think also with comic book fans, I think there is, like, that section of fandom that's just, like, they're just like, no, that's not the way it's supposed
to be.
It has to be the way I wanted it. You know, so it's like, you know.
Baron Zemo has to wear his purple mask. Or
that's different.
GTFO.
That's different.
White boots and white gloves for Punisher.
It's not happening. Give it up. It's the severity of the reaction, I think, is where you start to see some people's racist tendency come out.
Yeah, of course. I mean, like, if somebody was upset that Michael B. Jordan was cast as Johnny Storm, and they were just like, I don't know, Johnny Storm's a white guy, whatever, and they're whatever. You know, but then when the people are like, I'm going to burn down the theater, it's like, well, you're crazy, and you obviously have a bigger problem than Johnny Storm.
Yeah. I will say that... I think both Marvel and DC are cognizant of needing to change some things in their books.
Mm-hmm.
I will say I don't know that DC has done as much as Marvel.
But DC has done, I think,
as far as changing some of the stuff around. Like, Miss Marvel now is a Muslim character.
Yeah.
Which, gay. I mean, and despite the... Or what, not despite, but, you know... aside from the fact that she is a Muslim,
right?
The book is really, really good.
No. But see, that's what I'm talking about.
New character.
Exactly. That's what I was talking about. So, like, she's not... It's not like they took Carol Danvers and said, now she's Muslim. She's this Muslim girl from... I don't know where she's from. Where's her character from? Kamala.
She's in New York. I mean, it's...
I know, but where's her family from?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know if they're, like, Afghani or where they're from.
I don't think so. But I think...
But, it's or Iranian Eastern. Or whatever. But, you know, it's not like they did that, you know. But that's also the thing with Captain Marvel. Carol Danvers is Captain Marvel. Well, you could look at that actually two different ways, Captain Marvel. Because you can look at it as, he was a man! But nobody cared about that Captain Marvel character. Yeah. So who gives a crap? However, there was Captain Marvel, Monica... Rameau.
Yeah.
Who was black.
Rambo.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Who was black, and she was Captain Marvel.
Yes, she was.
And they whitewashed her and turned into Carol Danvers. So what do you got to say about that, King?
Yeah. They talked about that in the first issue the Captain Marvel reboot.
They did.
She was all pissed off because Carol Danvers took her title.
But the thing with Carol Danvers is that, like, that is, like, essentially just, like, a new character. So it's like, even though they call her Captain Marvel, she's a new character. It's a whole brand new thing. So it's not like, you know, you could still have... the other character, she could still be Captain Marvel. It's just like, you know, but she's just a different...
But I mean, they are doing more of what you're saying. They're creating new characters.
Right.
Well, I say new. I'm putting that in air quotes. Yeah, because Kate Bishop took over Hawkeye for a while.
Right, because she was in Young Avengers.
Yeah, she's still in the Hawkeye books, but she's...
And that's what they did with Young Avengers. Because, like, Young Avengers, they did the kid who was Captain America, who...
It's Patriot, right?
I think that's his name. I can't remember.
Yeah.
But he was, I want to say he was the grandson of, because they did a story called Captain America Red, White, and Black, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And basically it told this, like, dark, dark, dark story about how they got the super soldier serum that they put into Steve Rogers and how they experimented on black soldiers and stuff like that. And it was very harrowing. It was a great, great story. And they said that this kid was the grandson of the guy who became the black Captain America, basically, first. Then they had the Changeling, who looked like the Hulk, but was, I think, part Skrull. And then they had the Thor kid. I forget where he came from, like, what his deal was. But they were both gay. You know, so they and this team, and then they had the female Hawkeye, and then this team became like a popular team for Marvel, and they had Vision. Vision was part of that too, and they called them Young Avengers, and they became a popular team, and they're still going to this day. They still have like some incarnation of the comic is out there. So, you know, so they're capable of doing it, of taking new characters, sticking them into the thing, and if you want to do what you want. And
my preference is for brand new characters rather than relying on your stock characters, just a different flavor of character.
It's, right.
Like
you're but essentially they are new characters. I mean, look at Green Lantern.
They are, but they're based off. It's like this is the equivalent of Captain America. This is the equivalent of Thor. It's
for them. But I was like,
Miss Marvel. There's already been a Miss Marvel. Now she's the new Miss Marvel.
Right.
But they're also creating new characters now, which is I'm way more interested in this. Like Singularity. Is in the new A-Force. The A-Force being the all-female Avengers team. So you got She-Hulk on there, Medusa, Captain Marvel, Miss Marvel is also in there. I want to say Kitty Pryde might be in this. I think it's every female character.
It's all jumbled up now. Because Kitty Pryde's also in the Guardians of the Galaxy with the Thing. Yeah.
Okay. But Singularity is a new character. And she is a total badass. I mean, she looks awesome.
Cool.
She looks like that DC character that her body is made up. It looks like you're looking at space. I think it's like Star something. I thought she was in Teen Titans at some point.
Isn't it Raven with the cloak?
No, not Raven. I know her, but
Starfire.
I was thinking of Starfire, but I don't know if that's her. But anyway, they look similar. Singularity is, so it's a female body. But her body looks like you're looking through space.
Right.
So you're seeing stars and nebulas and all this kind of stuff. She's just really cool looking.
Right.
But she's a new character as part of the new A-Force.
Right.
So that direction that Marvel's taking, I like a lot. They're really starting to diversify their lineups. And I think it's a good idea. And I want to see more of it in the movies. And so it's never going to be a problem for me to see somebody like Michael B. Jordan taking over Johnny Storm. I think it needs to happen. I think it's more of a reflection of our time than the books back in the 60s were. That was a reflection of that time. This is a reflection of now.
Right.
So, yeah, bring it on. And if you boycott Star Wars, you are a moron.
I'm boycotting Star Wars.
You are a moron.
I have two
tickets. I'm boycotting the prequels.
I have two tickets.
Okay. But I think that's going to do it for us this week.
Finally. God. Jeez. I got a book to work on.
I know.
Yeah, we'll see you next time, folks. Thanks for listening.
See you later.